give a rip who you are or what you've done. There is more. Say, there's more. I don't care if you're one of our teenagers. There's more. I don't care if you're the oldest person in the room. There's more. Say, there's more. You settling is not acceptable. The title of this is part four of this series, and the title of today's message is Advancing in Your Destiny. So in part one of this series, we talked about for such a time as this. We talked a little bit about Queen Esther and how she was put in place to save Israel, and she was put there, and her uncle said, for such a time as this, and how we are placed in positions and things for such a time as this. There is something in your life right now for every one of you that God has put you wherever you are for such a time as this. Number two was discovering the will of God for your life. Basically, that one was just, I went through seven things that are just practical things you can do to help start aligning your life with the will of God and funneling yourself till you end up in that destiny stream. Then last week, we talked about dare to do something new. You know, if you won't do anything new, let me put it this way. If you want something that you've never had, you got to what? Do something you never did. Y'all did listen last week. Praise God. So and today is advancing your destiny. So I'm going to jump right into the note page on page one, number one. You know, once you have discovered your destiny, have dared to launch out into something new and have decided to take action, you have to keep advancing in that direction. And this can be the hardest part because I promise you, and I'm not trying to make a negative confession over you, but even Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So this is because there will be so many things that will try to pull you off course and tempt you to quit. You know, I have to tell new employees, especially on the sales side of things, you know, you're going to want to quit. You know, you're going to be here for a few weeks or a couple of months, and you're just going to want to walk out that door and quit. Because you're going to make, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90 phone calls a day, and nothing's going to happen, and nothing's going to happen, and nothing's going to happen. But you know what? You're sowing seed. Because even in the world, seed time and harvest works. And you call enough people, you talk to enough people, eventually you will do what you need to do. And it's just the way things work. And so, you know, following your destiny is not necessarily the easiest thing in the world because there are things that are going to discourage you, especially if you're trying to follow the will of God. Satan will do his best to discourage you. So you must make a decision to just keep going even when it gets tough. How many of you have ever been in life and it got tough? If you're not raising your hand, you're a liar. And the Bible says all liars go to hell, so I'd raise my hand. Hebrews 10:35 says, so do not throw away your confidence, it will be richly rewarded. Did you know that it takes confidence to move in your destiny? You can't move forward if you don't believe you can. Some people think that confidence is not godly. They associate it with pride or arrogance. Now, confidence is not the same as arrogance. Arrogance is trusting in your own human abilities alone. It is when you put your confidence in your own flesh. The Word tells us in Philippians 3:3 that we are to have no confidence in the flesh, because your body, your senses, your flesh will lie to you. But Paul tells us in the same book of Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6, being confident, being what? Of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus has started a good work in you. You need to be confident that he'll complete it. But I don't feel like I'm doing anything good. I don't give a rip. That doesn't matter. You need to have confidence that what you're doing in life, that Jesus has got you there for a reason, and you've got to have confidence that you will succeed, you will not be a failure, that you will prosper, that you will have favor, because it says that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. God doesn't leave things uncompleted. And this is where our confidence is to be. We are to be confident that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it. So we are to be confident in Christ who is in us. You know, we will never move out in the ability that he has put in us to accomplish our dreams if we are not willing to do something for him. Acts 28:31. It says that Paul got on with the work that God had given him to do, and he went about preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Godly confidence comes from knowing who you are in Christ Jesus and what you can accomplish in Him. It is having confidence in God's ability in you. There's essentially, it's in order, you have to do it. In order to progress in your destiny, you have to be willing to do this. So let me say this to you guys. Confidence is not a bad thing, as long as it's confidence in Him in you and not in how good you are, because none of us are that good. Confidence is fine. You need to be confident, and you've got to be willing to get out. So how many of you, that particularly those who have known me for a long time, feel like I'm a pretty confident guy? I'm a pretty confident guy. Why am I confident? There was a time in my life where I wasn't confident about anything, nothing, until I was in my early 20s and found this message that, you know, I am a son of God. I'm just not, you know, some sinner saved by grace. I am a son of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, an heir according to the promise. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm redeemed of the Lord. I'm the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You start building that inside of you. There's a confidence that comes with that. And as that confidence builds inside of you, you begin to step out and do things. Why? Because you know who you are in Christ. Well, but I fail so much. I don't care. And you know what? In reality, God doesn't care. Yes, He does care, but He doesn't care in the big scheme of things, because it's not about you and your failures. It's about Jesus and His victories. So stop worrying about your failures and start focusing on Jesus' victories. And your failures will become less and less, and you will gain a confidence in you that you have never had before or didn't even know that you could have. So I'm on number two. Make no mistake about it. God created you for success. Say, God created me for success. God does not see you as a failure. He created you to succeed. In 3 John 2, we know this very well. John prayed this: Beloved, I pray that you would prosper, that you would what?
Prosper.
In all things. How many things?
All.
And be in health, just as your soul, what's the soul?
Mind,
will, and emotions prospers. Because John knew at this point when he wrote that, you know, it's believed that he's the last living original disciple. He's the last one. He's an old man. He's lived a long time. And he says, look, God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in health. But we all understand, if your soul, mind, will, and emotions aren't prospering, none of the rest of it matters. In Psalms 35, 27 and Deuteronomy 39, it says, the Lord delights in seeing you prosper. Say it with me. The Lord delights in seeing me prosper. Now, Joshua 1:8, you guys all know this, one of my favorite passages or verses in the Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, meaning it has got to keep coming out of your mouth. It's got to what? You got to what? Meditate on it how often? Now, does meditate means you got to sit with your legs, you know, Indian style? I guess that's not politically correct to say Indian style anymore, is it? But Indian style. And so you got to sit Indian style and put your arms like, you know, some weird thing. That is not meditating like he's talking about. You meditate all day. What is meditate? Thinking about something. And mostly you're thinking about negative things all day. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the general populace, okay? You know, just talk to anybody. What are they thinking about all day? COVID or the economy or you know, whatever, Afghanistan or whatever mess they've got us into now. And so, you know, you got to meditate on it day and night. Why? So you can observe to do what's written in it. Because you can't observe to do what's written in it if you don't know what it says. But if you'll do that, if you'll speak the word of God, if you'll meditate on it, you know, think about it, and you'll do what it says, God doesn't have to do anything, because there's so much power in His Word, it'll take care of it. And it says, you will make your own way prosperous, and you will have good success.
Amen.
Number one, well, wherever I'm at. So I want you to notice something in the Scripture. There are four things that God tells Joshua to do in order to succeed in his destiny. First, he needs to keep the Word coming out of his mouth. Second, he needs to meditate and think about God's Word constantly. Third, he is to choose what he observes. And fourth, he's to do what God says. If we follow this command, we too will succeed. It is guaranteed. Say guaranteed. So let's take a look at how these four areas affect our destiny. Number one, moving forward with your mouth. The number one under number one. When you're talking about your dream, it's very important that you use words of faith. Many times people say, oh, Pastor, I'm praying in faith. I believe, I've listened to you in church, and I believe that I receive in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that for the anointing of God. I thank you for the financial breakthrough that I have been praying for. I believe I receive it. Thank you, Jesus. And then as soon as they finish that prayer in faith, they turn around and they say something like this. Oh, man, this is really bad. We are really in trouble here. We are out of money and we're in too deep. What are we going to do? Oh, man, how are we ever going to get out of this mess? You can't pray one way and then talk another and expect results. You understand that? You can't pray in faith and then talk in negativity. It does not work. You are canceling, you are deceiving yourself, the Bible says. If you're going to believe God, then let the belief come out of your mouth. You have to use words of faith if you want to move forward. I can't stress this enough. You must keep your faith lined up with your words. Do not let your words keep you from fulfilling your dream. Why do you think, I'm going to talk to you for just a second, Pastor Zach and your team of people here, let's talk. How does your generation talk? That's exactly right. You can't or you shouldn't repeat it anywhere in public or in private. They cuss all the time. They use words that, you know, you shouldn't be used. And it's a ploy of Satan. Why? Because if I can just get that pumping out of you all the time, you will never be victorious. You're going to ride this up and down roller coaster every day of your life. You're going to be up, you're going to be down, you're going to be up, you're going to be down. And the world is training you to talk like that. You go to school tomorrow, and it's blank this and blank that and this and that. And it's like every other word. I mean, it is literally like every other word. So if you guys allow that to get in you and you start talking like that, well, that's how everybody talks. It's not how God talks. My point is this. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. Doesn't mean we're weird. It means we're just different. Now, they may think we're weird, and that's okay. Because let me ask you guys this. Get down where you have to look at me. Okay, so let me ask you this. If you really believed that you can have what you say. I mean, you really believe that. You really believe the Bible's true, and you can have what you say. Would you talk like them? Or would you, I mean, if you really believed you could have what you say, would you talk like them, or would you talk different? So it comes down to belief. Do we really believe the Bible, or are we more concerned about peer pressure? I mean, that's what it comes down to. And peer pressure is tough. And you know, in your age group, I mean, believe it or not, I was your age one time. Way back in the Stone Ages, but yeah, I was. And it was the Stone Age. There was no cell phones. There was no computers of any kind. The wheels weren't square. They were round by then. Okay. My point is, in my day, it was peer pressure to your face. I mean, you know, in my day, you know, drugs were a big deal. They're a big deal now, but they were a big deal then. But it was these guys at school pushing you on it. You know, now you guys don't even talk to each other. You know, when was the last time you made a phone call and had a 20-minute conversation with somebody? Okay. See, y'all are just weird. Because kids y'all's age don't talk on the phone. You text all the time. It's like who talks? See, so if I can convince you that you can have what you say. Now, you've been taught this since you were a little big boy. I got pictures. I saw some yesterday of our first time at Burgers Lake. Oh, my goodness. You're a skinny little redhead guy. Well, you're still skinny, but little. So my point is this. You are a young man who has finished college. You're helped training the next generation. For somebody your age, you make a lot of money. You've done well. You're successful, given your age and your experience level. And a lot of times you still don't feel confident in yourself. Right? Okay. Now, is that what the Bible says, or is that what Satan's telling you all the time? Why? Because you're dangerous. You know how to talk. You know how to believe God. You know how to prosper. And that is dangerous. So if he can get you to belittle yourself and make you feel small about you, then how can you raise them up? And so this is Satan's ploy. This is what Satan does. And so when we're talking about destiny, you know, you guys, I know you come here and it's hard to stay awake. I know, like I said, I was young once. It really. Of course, some of you are even older than me, so hey. So let's, for just a minute, assume the Word of God is real. I mean, it's really real. It's not real like, oh, yeah, I believe I'll go to heaven if I die because Jesus died. I mean, no. It's real. Like, I can really have what I say. So give me 30 minutes, stay awake, and walk with me through this. Because what I need to do is I need rows of you guys filling this whole section with young people that are going to go change the world. Because let's be honest, at my age, I'm going to make an influence on whoever I can make an influence on, but probably I'm not going to change the world, but you guys can. So if I can change one of you, then I do get to change the world. And it's not me changing you, but through what we teach you, if the Word of God can change one of you, that will change the world. But if the Word of God can change 10 or 20 of you, y'all are dangerous. You really are. Proverbs 6:2 warns us about this. Because it says, you are snared by the words of your own mouth. Whose mouth? You are taken by the words of your mouth. Do not be taken by the enemy because of the words you speak. Did you know that your words can literally hold you in captivity if you let them? I mean, they can. You hear some people, you know, say things like, well, you know, everything seems to go wrong for me. And then they say, you know, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And then we laugh at that. Don't laugh at that. Refuse to allow words like that to come out of your mouth because they can snare your future. God has something better for you than that. All you have to do is grab hold of the promises of God and declare them by faith. Let them come out of your mouth. As you begin to do that, you're going to see the anointing of God released in your life. And if you don't like where you are today, it's most likely the result of the words that you said yesterday. But here's the good news. You can change that, and you can make tomorrow different by changing your words today. Keep words of faith coming out of your mouth. Declare, I have a great future in Jesus' name. God has, let's just do that together. I have a great future in Jesus' name. God has something extraordinary for me to do. God has good things for me. God has good success for me. God has blessings for me. Okay, so the second thing I want you to get out of Joshua 1:8 is changing your course with your thoughts. Because one of the greatest revelations I ever received was when I realized that I'm the one in control of my thoughts. I remember one time I was sitting in church. Now, this was decades ago. And I had this very negative, wrong picture pop into my head. So there I was, saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and right in the middle of the church service, this terrible picture steamrolled into my mind. I thought, dear God, I don't want to think thoughts like that. And of course, immediately what happened? The devil started to work on me. Oh, look at you, thinking a thought like that. See, this was back when I was just learning the Word of Faith message. I was just getting out there. I was just starting to want to minister the Word. I was just wanting to do all these things. And the devil was like, look at that. And in the house of God, I felt guilty. I felt condemned. I felt wrong. I felt beat up. And then the enemy said, you can't even really be a Christian. No Christian would ever think a thought like that. And in church, thinking a thought like that, shame on you. Anybody ever had a devil say, shame on you? Once or twice, exactly. So number one under number two. What I did not understand was just because we have a thought flash through our mind does not mean we're no longer saved or we're guilty of anything. The devil can bring thoughts to our mind, but that does not mean I have to let them stay there. Just because you have a bad thought does not mean you have to dwell on it. If you dwell on it and you keep dwelling on it, it's going to grab hold of you and lead you right into sin. It is not the thoughts themselves that are sin. It is what you do with those thoughts that determine whether they are sin or not. So when things like that happen, the problem is not that you need to get saved all over again. The problem is that we need to understand some things about our thought life. We need to understand that God has given us the ability to take control of our thought life and renew our minds. Romans 12:2. You know, anytime I can use Joshua 1:8 and Romans 12:2 in one sermon, I am like a happy camper, because that's one of my other favorite scriptures. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't act like them, but be transformed. How? By renewing my mind, changing the way I think. And if you'll do that, if you will just change the way you think, you'll get to prove and live out the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the New Living Translation says it like this: don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, God wants to change us into brand new people. He wants us to change from defeat to victory, failure to success, discouragement to strength, bondage to freedom. God wants us to succeed and be victorious. I'm continuing on page 3. Victory comes through renewing the mind. Say it with me. Victory comes by renewing the mind. So when our mind is renewed, we think and we see ourselves differently. We envision good things happening in our lives. See, as we transform our minds, we each become the person that God wants us to be. As I've told you many times, renewing your mind is an ongoing process. I don't mean to be discouraging, but you'll never get done. So the same way that we learn to grow in the natural is the same way we learn to grow in the spiritual. The more we spend time reading God's Word, the more our mind is renewed. So the more time we spend delighting in the Lord, the more our minds become like His. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does it mean when it refers to pulling down strongholds? A lot of people think a stronghold is a demonic power. In this case, he's not talking about that. If you read through that whole passage, you'll find out he's talking about the mind. Now, Webster's Dictionary defines a stronghold as a place having a strong defense or a fortified place. Here's what we do, guys. We build strongholds in our minds because of continual thought patterns. For example, I'm never going to succeed. I'm always messing up. I can't do anything right. You know, God's never going to be able to use me. What you're doing, you're building a stronghold of negative thoughts in your mind. I call them walls. And then what has to happen is you've got to get into the Word of God. And as you renew your mind, you have to tear down those strongholds. You got to end up pulling those things back down. How many of you ever been hurt by another person? Because of that hurt, has anybody in here ever taken that out or not trusted, not that person, we're not even talking about that person anymore, other people, because of what that person did? Okay? That's a stronghold. And if the Satan can get you to build this one and this one, well, this person lies to me all the time, so everybody lies to me, and this one, 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 what happens? All of a sudden, I'm surrounded by strongholds, by walls, and I'm blocked off. I won't let people see the real me. I'm not going to show the real me to anybody because that can get me hurt. I'm going to put on a false face. I'm going to get through life, and to hell with the world. And that's the way the world lives. Bitter, angry, hurt, walls. That is not the way we live. Our minds are places where we hold our views, our attitudes, and our beliefs. And when our minds are not renewed to the truth of God's Word, many of those old views, attitudes, beliefs, and thought patterns can be like a wall that's got to be pulled down. So when Paul's talking about pulling down these strongholds, he's giving a picture of a battle. Because in those days, when they would build a city, they would fortify it. How did they fortify it? They built what? A wall around it. So if another kingdom or another city came to attack that city or that kingdom, what was the first thing they tried to do? Pull down the walls. Because if they can pull down the walls, then you're vulnerable. And it's the same with life. Because you think the walls are protecting you, but they're giving you a false expectation because they are not protecting you. They're blocking life out. It's hard for you to step into your destiny when you're so surrounded by hurt and by anger and by unforgiveness and by distrust that you just can't move. So we stand. And we watch other people move on, and we get jealous. Builds another wall. And we build another wall and another wall. And then you come to church, and we read scriptures like that, and you're like, oh my, you know, I got all these walls. Well, this is why we renew our mind. We start tearing them down, block by block. This is why you got to talk God's Word and not all that junk you hear in the street every day. Because stuff in the street every day is designed for nothing but to block you in. And so you got to talk God's Word. And what will happen is those walls will start coming down. And all of a sudden you may get a glimpse of light, of warmth. The Holy Spirit finally can get through to you. And then you're in a situation where it's like, oh my goodness. And then you just keep tearing down and tearing down and tearing down until those strongholds are gone. And you can live life. Because a lot of people, most people out there, they're not living life. They're surviving life. And that's not the way God intended. Sure is quiet in here. So the battlefield of your mind is where you have to fight for your thought life. Again, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments. And arguments come from where? Our minds. Verse 5 goes on to say, casting out arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so I'll go back to the youth. Let me ask you a question. Has anybody ever felt like everybody's better than you at whatever you're thinking about? Just Pastor Zach's the only one that's ever thought that? Okay, so you think that, right? You understand that's a lie. I may have skills you don't have, because there are people that would hate to do this every week, stand up in front of people and talk. I was one of them at one time. But you get trained and God changes your heart. So there are pastors that pastor huge churches. And you say, okay, see, they're so much better than you. No, they're not. Because you know what? They're not talking to you. What I'm trying to explain to you is you are valuable. And you are important. And every one of you sitting here are valuable and important. And God puts you where you are for such a time as this. Because you guys are world changers. You're destiny makers. You will not live like the rest of the world. Why? Because I have pumped so much into you that you cannot accept living like them. And if you do, you would be so miserable, you'd want to get out. Why? Because you're better than that. Not that you are personally better than they are, but what lives inside of you is better than that. I can't minister to those other kids, but I can tell you guys that you're not normal. You're special. You are above average. You are the standard. But Pastor, you don't know what I do during the week. It doesn't matter. I know what Jesus did for you in Calvary. Amen. It's not about you and what you do. It's about what he already did. Just remember that. God gave you the ability to bring every thought into captivity. I'm not saying it's easy. If I told you that, I'd be lying and you'd know it. But every time a thought that contradicts the Word of God comes to your mind, you have to replace it with something positive. I cannot afford to allow my mind to get bogged down with negativity. I just cannot, and you can't either. You know, if a lustful thought pops into your head, don't just sit there and flirt with it. Also, don't sit there and be condemned over it. Put your foot down as a child of God and do what Jesus did and say, Satan, get thee behind me. The moment a wrong thought pops into your head, get it out of there. Refuse to allow it to settle there. Get rid of it. Take it captive before it has time to get into your mouth and take you captive. You know, Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is just receiving his mandate from God to be the leader of Israel and take the children of Israel into the promised land. So when God wanted to deliver the people from Egypt, he had to use someone that was not in bondage. He needed someone who was not held captive in Egypt. He needed someone who did not have all the limitations of a slavery mentality. And so he called on Moses to do the job. Moses was brought in, he was brought up in Pharaoh's household. He did not have a slave mentality. So, you know, many times we limit God and ourselves by our own thinking. You've probably heard me make this statement before. Why did Israel spend 40 years in the desert? Well, because God took them out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them. Until he could get Egypt out of them, they could not have the faith to go over. So that generation had to die, and the next generation had to come up. So when it was time for Moses then to go on to heaven, God chose Joshua to bring the people into the promised land. And Joshua was a man who would not limit God. He knew enough to hang around Moses, the man who believed that all things were possible with God. Joshua was with Moses long enough to see firsthand the things that God could do. Like Moses, Joshua didn't place limits on God, but moved as God led. The anointing that was on Moses was transferred to Joshua. Number three, When you spend time with believers, it helps you to be a better believer. So let me ask the youth question. When y'all go to YFN, at the end of YFN, are you stronger or weaker than when you went? So what you just told me is that hanging around believers makes you stronger. Is that right? So what does that mean you need to do? Hang around believers. She's so smart. So see, the guys, they're like, huh? So, you know. See, time spent with a dreamer will cause you to dream. I'm on number three if you're staying up with me. Possibility thinkers cause you to realize all things are possible. And that's why it is so important to choose relationships that will keep you going in the right direction. The people we open our hearts to and let our guard down with can either lead us into captivity or lead us into liberty. It is important to understand what belongs to you. Success is something that God desires for you to have. It's good, and it belongs to you. Don't let the devil steal your success. Grab hold of the promises of God and get everything that belongs to you. Number three, the third thing that Joshua had to learn, is what you say is what you get. It's what you see is what you get. Number one, under number three, how do you see yourself, guys? All of you, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as just barely getting by? Or do you see yourself prospering and succeeding? Do you see yourself moving in the destiny God has for you? Whatever you can see in the spirit is what you're going to get. And sometimes we need to get a new vision. We need to get rid of that old mentality, that old picture of ourselves, and take a brand new one. We need to see ourselves as God sees us in Deuteronomy 28:6, which says, blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in everything you do. See yourself as prosperous. See everything you touch as prospering. You need to see this happening. As you begin to see it, it is going to happen. And you're going to see things change. But you have to see it first. You know, David Young-Yi Cho, he changed his name. But Dr. Cho passed away this week. And he was 85 years old. And you know, he taught me that if you can't see it, you can't have it. You've got to be able to see whatever you're believing God for. If you can't see it, you say, I'm going to believe God for this. Well, can you see it? No. Well, you can't have it. You've got to be able to see it if you want it. So you need to see that happening. And as you begin to see it, things are going to happen in your life. But you have to see it. See yourself achieving. See yourself advancing in your destiny. See yourself obtaining all that God has for you. There are some people who they will never prosper because they are afraid of success. And the reason they're afraid of it is because of how they see themselves. They do not see themselves prospering. There are some who can't see themselves being successful. When you get into a position where things are starting to, you know, those people, they get in a position where things are starting to get right, looks like they're going to they're getting close to success, they're going to end up doing something that will cause their faith to shipwreck. They will sabotage their own victory. Subconsciously, they're afraid to be successful. And it starts with the way you see yourself. Again, Joshua 1:8, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Notice the word good success. Say good success. Success is good. God calls success good. A lot of people think that success is bad because religious tradition or some crazy, terrible teaching they've heard. So people think God wants me to just barely get through life. That is not true. That is not what the Bible says. Jesus told us in John 10:10, he came not only to give us life, but to give it to us more abundantly. We need abundance to accomplish the will of God. We need an abundance of health, an abundance of energy, an abundance of money, an abundance of supplies, an abundance of provision. Abundance is good. It is a good idea. And success is God's idea. The devil will fight you over your prosperity. He'll fight you over your healing. He'll fight you over every promise of God. He will even take scriptures and twist them to your disadvantage. But God wants you to walk in health. He wants you to be healed, and he wants you to prosper and succeed. Some people are going to tell you shouldn't have anything. Nothing nice. Do not let that religious thinking attach itself to you ever. Money is not a bad thing. Money is just a tool. Just use it. You know, you've heard me say this many times. Yes, do the right things. You need to prepare for retirement. You need to do the things you need to do. After that, what do you need it for? It's a tool. Use it. That's all it's for. It's not to hoard. It's not to keep. It's a tool. And you can do good with it or you can do evil with it. So do some good with it. God wants you to fund the end time harvest. And guys, you need money to do that. I need you prospering and 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 you prospering. Why? Because you need it? No, because the kingdom of God takes money to operate. And who's going to finance the end time harvest? We are. So we need to get after it. You'll begin to understand your destiny when you reach out and you grab hold of what God has for you. Number two, when you understand and believe that God has a special plan and purpose for you to fulfill, it will help you tap into your talent. You see what belongs to you. And you see yourself grabbing hold of it. Study the Word of God. Search out the promises of God for yourself and see them as yours. See, that's the thing. You know who this book was written for? Me. This book was written for me. But you can say it was written for you too. But it's personal. It's not a generic book for the masses. It is a book written for each individual. Because what I need out of it today is probably not what you need out of it today. It is a personal book written for you personally. And the devil will fight you, and he will try to mess with you. Don't you allow that to happen. Page 4, number 1. Revelation 21:7 says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things." He who what? So maybe you don't feel like an overcomer. And you may look at your life and think, you know, I haven't really overcome at all. Well, maybe you have seen yourself bound. You know, bound up with fear and unbelief and sexual immorality and pornography and depression or discouragement. It does not have to stay that way. You can change that image in yourself today. God wants you to get a new picture of yourself. He wants you to start seeing yourself as He sees you. He sees you as an overcomer. He sees His Spirit in you. He sees Jesus in you. And Jesus told us in John 16:33 that He has overcome the world. And since He's overcome the world, that, my friend, makes you an overcomer too. Number 4, doing the Word of God. Number 1 under number 4, James 1:22 and then verse 25. But don't just listen to God's Word. You have to do what it says. And if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. See, once you get your mouth, your thoughts, and your heart in line with the Word of God, it's time to act. Some people, they speak the Word of God over their lives, but then they turn around and they act like they've never said anything. You must move into action if you want to move into your destiny. Speak, think, see, and act on the promises of God. Say it with me. Speak, think, see, and act on the promises of God. God told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 8, to do all that he had spoken, meditated on, and observed. And then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. That is how he moved into the promised land. That is how Joshua went into the promised land and that belonged to him. Speak words of faith over your destiny. Keep your thoughts on what God's word says about you and your destiny. You need to see yourself moving successfully in the destiny and make it happen. Paul instructed Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15, "Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress," the King James says, "profiting, may be evident to all." So profiting, progress, I looked up that word in the Greek. It means to advance, to move forward by continuous hammering. Have you ever seen a drill for oil? You know, they take this big spiral drill and they just keep hammering it, pounding it into the ground. It's basically this big, huge hammer. They just keep pounding it into the ground. And you hear it making this bumping sound, this grinding sound. And the workers just keep driving that pipe further and further into the ground with continual hammering. And that's how God wants us to be with the destiny that he has called us to. Number two on under number four. He wants us to be persistent with the good success he has destined for us. He wants us to give ourselves entirely to that and then keep progressing in our destiny. He wants us to keep moving forward in the calling that God has for us. I don't ever want to get to a place where I'm not dreaming or growing. I don't ever want to stop my pursuit for more of God. I don't ever want to get to a point of saying, well, praise God, you know, I've arrived. Look at what we've done. Look at all of our accomplishments, because here's the problem. When you quit dreaming, something dangerous happens to you. We begin to take credit for what we have done instead of looking to God for more. And then we stop growing in what God has for us. I don't ever want to reach that place. I want to keep going forward in the things that God has for me. I want to keep the dream stirred up. How about you? Success is good. God wants you to succeed. But when we let success go to our head, it blocks our progression. When we no longer lean on God and we give ourselves credit for our achievements, we're no longer going forward in the plan of God. Now, what does that do? It places a limit on our success, and before long, we find that we have stopped dreaming. Guys, don't stop dreaming. Our thinking becomes limited. And we are unable to see anything better in our future. Don't limit God. Don't stop dreaming. Continue to advance in the plan of God that he has for you. So let me ask you, if you want to make a commitment to God today, if you want to give notification to the devil that you are headed towards your destiny and that God will not and that you will not quit and you will not be denied the life God has for you, I want you to stand up. And I want to tell you this. Don't stop dreaming, ever. Keep dreaming. I don't care how old you are, keep dreaming. Do not let the circumstances of life pull you down, because they will if you will let them. But God has you for such a time as this. He has you and you and you and everybody in this room for such a time as this. You are important. You have a place in the kingdom of God. You have a destiny to fulfill. And now it's our responsibility to do it. Don't allow your mistakes to define you, because they will if you let them. And Satan will play you for them. And he will play with your head, because he doesn't want this message in your head. He wants you to define yourself based on your actions, what people say about you. I want to encourage every one of you, start speaking over your own life who you are in Christ. You get up in the morning and it's a lousy morning. You just go in front of that mirror and you say, you are blessed. Jesus loves you. God is in you. You're on top. You're not underneath. You talk to yourself for 3 or 4 minutes. And you know what? You'll feel that fire rising up inside of you. And at that point, you're just like, devil, get out of my way. You know, there is like this anointing that God gives people. And everybody can be anointed. But then there are certain anointings that are either over certain people, certain ministries, certain things. I am anointed to progress. God has given me the ability to move forward. Doesn't matter how bad it looks. Not to dwell on that. To move forward. It's an anointing. It burns in my bones. Now, I said it in the message. You know, Moses would believe God for anything. And the anointing that was on Moses transferred to Joshua. And we have read through the Word of God, like Elijah and Elijah. The anointing of God is transferable. We know that. If you want me to just... And you know, just because an anointing is transferred to you, you have to receive it. You know, if you go pray for people, you pray for some people, and it is like praying for a watermelon. There is no life there. There's no faith there. It's like, heal me if you can. Sorry, I can't heal anybody. But then there are other people that you put their hands on them, and it is like, boom, I am healed. Because they received it. So what I'm saying to you is, I have an anointing for destiny, for progress, for dreams. I don't know how to explain it. God just gave it to me. So what I'm going to say to you is, if you want me to just lay my hands on you, if you want to receive that anointing, it is available to you. We share. But don't ask for it if you're not going to use it. Because what do we know happens? What does Mark tell us? Satan comes immediately to steal the word. So if you want this anointing, we'll share. But then you have to understand, you've got to fight the battle that's going to follow right up behind it. Because you're going to have to fight to keep it. But we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the dark places. Does that make sense? So if you want me to, I'm not praying over people. If you just want me to lay hands on you, I can. That anointing is available to you. But you have to receive it. You have to accept it. You have to want it, and then you have to keep it. I can't do any of those things for you. I can just lay my hands on you, and you can have it. It's up to you. If you're watching or listening, I'm going to pray for you first. And I'm going to use an old Oral Roberts technique. Look, there's no power in your device you're watching. There's no power in that at all. But it's just a point of contact. You need to reach out and receive something. So just reach out and touch that thing. And I speak over you in the name of Jesus that the anointing of destiny, the anointing that drives, the anointing of dreaming, the anointing that will not settle and will continue to expect and push without being discouraged is upon you now in Jesus' name. Now receive that. Now if you want me to lay my hands on you and you're here in this building, just line up in the middle, just walk right past me and we're just going to anoint with oil. Just receive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive it 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 in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, give the Lord a shout. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray over these people that the anointing of God, that they will receive it. Just like Elijah and Elijah. So when they head back across that river, they'll open it. I just speak life over them. I speak destiny over them. I speak the anointing of God over them. And I thank you, Lord God, for lives changed, for testimonies coming, for victories that will be shared. I praise you for it. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, go before us this week. Prepare our way. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great, anointed, prosperous week in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. And you are dismissed.